at the Rising Billions. Disrupting tradition.
Always be closing.
Gaining exponential wisdom from street smart strategies.
I dream the kind of dreams that other people said would not be possible.
Free your mind. Nothing happens till something moves.
I'm a big fan of going all in on your strengths.
Create your blue ocean. Innovation and collaboration with competition.
Do you want to sell sugar water for the rest of your life? Or do you want to come with me and change the world?
Creating uncontested market space.
I worry that people don't tap into their strengths.
Wealth creation and a new economy entrepreneur.
There is a very thin dividing line between success and failure.
Witnessing unprecedented technology.
You can fail at what you don't want. So you might as well take a chance on doing what you love.
Welcome to the Think Bold, Be Bold Show with Christopher Gumby and Alan Rich.
Hi, it's Christopher Covey with Think Bold, Be Bold. Here with my awesome co-host, Alan Witch. Alan, you there?
I'm here. Happy 5th of July, Chris. How you doing today?
Right. Well, I'm doing amazing. It was a great weekend. And, you know, I get the great pleasure because, during this time of year, Canada Day is on July 1st, and because I am Canadian, I get to enjoy and celebrate that with my fellow Canadians out there. But my wife and my two kids, I have four kids, but two of them are American. So we get to enjoy, obviously, Happy 4th, and it was a lot of fun down at the beach. I'll tell you, these guys know how to put on a party down here in Florida.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, the weather was really nice, too. I was looking at some of the Facebook posts that you were doing, and I got to tell you, I was a little jealous. It was hot here, and we were having a lot of fun, but I wasn't near the water, so I'm still a little jealous there, Chris.
Well, that's all right. Soon enough, you'll be able to spend some time down in the on the Gulf Coast here, where, obviously I frequent and live. In a little beach town called Seagrove, for those not familiar, it's on the Gulf of Mexico. In Santa Rosa Beach. Hey, Alan, we've got an amazing guest. In fact, you know, we've been following this guest for a while now, and, you know, his message and the things that he's been up to and the people he's connected with and the, you know, the book that he wrote, which is a bestseller, a New York Times bestseller, that is. And he's got his own show, and it's live. And, you know, without giving a lot of it away, I know we always give you the great pleasure of introducing the guest. And of course, that's not going to be any different from what we do today. So why don't we get right into it and introduce a guest, because I am super excited.
I'm excited as well. Thanks, Chris. Yeah, you know, the title I'm going to give away here, you're probably all going to know who it is. He is the world's foremost reinvention expert. Yes, his name's Steve, but I'll hang on to his last name for just a minute here. He really does help a lot of people, not just individuals, but corporations, really kind of find a way to determine, you know, what is their what? What's that one thing that they're created to do? Whatever it might be. Maybe it's a, you know, no holds barred approach to life, or maybe it's something to help promote clients, whatever the case may be, to help find a life of purpose, conviction, and contribution. And I think those are three great things that are often left out. I think a lot of commerce comes first, and some of the other things come second. But when you lead with conviction and purpose, then I think you've got a great track record. He's a 25-year entrepreneur. Steve is a chairman and co-founder of Liquor.com, an online pioneer who launched on CompuServe's electronic mall back in 1993. As you said, he's a New York Times bestselling author of What Is Your What? Discover the One Amazing Thing You Were Born to Do. So without further ado, Steve Olscher's in the house. Steve, welcome to the Think Bold, Be Bold podcast.
Well, thank you for having me, gentlemen. Appreciate it.
Yeah, well, the pleasure is all ours, Steve. And, you know, thanks for bearing with us while we had a little banter back and forth. But, man, we could spend all day, I'm sure, talking about the things that are passionate to you and where you've been and, you know, the things that you're working on. But I know it's always a great, start before we get into some of the questions specifically on what you're working on right now. But can you fill in, you know, that journey as an entrepreneur? I know it's 25 plus years and you've done a lot of great things. But fill us in a little bit for our audience so that they can get a good, you know, understanding for those that, well, I don't think anybody's not heard of you. But, you know, obviously, for those that haven't, they can get a good sense of who you are and where you've been and maybe where you're going. And we'll jump right into your book because I can't wait to talk about that subject.
Absolutely.
Cool, man. Yeah. First and foremost, I think I was being a little presumptuous when I referred to you both as gentlemen. So I apologize in advance. I don't know if that's the case yet. Give it time. And second of all,
here it comes.
Since I smoke as much as I do, I'm not even sure I remember two of the three questions you asked, but I'll start with the one, which is where are things going? And the answer is I have no clue, so we can leave that out of the equation. But in terms of where I've been, as was stated, I launched on CompuServe's Electronic Mall in 93, so I've been online for a long time. Mm-hmm. And really just wired as an entrepreneur, you know. I mean, it's like just one of those things you can't really do anything about, you know. It just kind of chooses you, and mm-hmm. I guess you can ignore it or deny it. I guess you can certainly do that. But for me, I mean, I've always kind of been wired as that guy who wants to kind of rub a couple of dimes together and try to make a quarter. So it's raking leaves, it's shoveling snow, it's doing whatever I got to do, and that started at a really young age. And the first true entrepreneurial endeavor was actually opening up my own nightclub when I was 19. So I've been in the game for quite some time.
Wow.
So was that a no-liquor nightclub?
I know, right? How do you do that? Yeah. Actually, it was a non-alcoholic club. So we catered to the teenagers early. And when I say early, I mean like 8 to 11:30-ish or so. And then we would close down and clean up, and then we would reopen at midnight for those 18 and over. And because we didn't serve booze, we could stay open literally all night long, which sometimes meant 4, 5, 6 in the morning. And because the bars had to close in the city where I did this at 1:30, that meant that they had their fill of what they needed booze-wise, but some of them didn't want to go home. So that gave us an opportunity to cater to those folks, and there were plenty of them.
Wow.
Nice. So you were no alcohol. Was that Studio 63 then?
I believe that was actually Studio 17.
Aha.
Wow. That's amazing.
Lovingly known as here's a funny story. You talk about names and being bold and all of that fun stuff. I had DJed for a number of years, and certainly this is something we have in common, that my DJ name was Mr. Bold, believe it or not, so pretty apropos for this show. But we were sitting around trying to think of names for the club, and we actually came up with the Funky Pickle, so go figure.
The Funky Pickle, I love it.
Funky Pickle. Steve, I want to jump right into your book because, you know, being an author myself and just published just recently, I know what it takes to, you know, write a book, but, you know, not quite know what it takes to write a New York Times best-selling book. What Is Your What? Sounds like a really great book. And I apologize, I haven't read it yet, but I certainly will. In fact,
hey, my wife hasn't read it either. You're in good company. Don't worry about it.
Well, it's on order because obviously when you agreed to come on the show, want to definitely get a good sense of what you wrote about, and it made a lot of sense. Now,
no better time to get a good sense for what the book is all about than after the interview. Good call, Chris. Oh, wait, good planning. Thank you, sir. We'll have to revisit this, evidently.
Listen,
huh?
I did a little bit of research to find out, but at the same time, definitely, you know, got some great questions for you, so that for our audience out there, and you know, again, Steve, why we do this, and by the way, audience, if you've got, if you don't have your journal and pen, it's a good time to grab it because this is when the golden nuggets come out, you know, when we dive right into Steve's brain here on some of the things.
I guess we're all being presumptuous then today, aren't we?
we got to pick up our game, Chris, because it's Steve one, Chris, and Alan zero.
I love it. It's exactly. And we love that kind of banter. In fact, Anarino gave it to us as well when we were on the show. Yeah. Remember that, Anthony Anarino?
Yes.
Love Anthony. Shout out for him. But, you know, Steve, listen, you believe there's one thing that prevents someone from living, you know, a life of happiness, fulfillment, and purpose. What is that?
Yeah, I really do think it boils down to being able to just, you got to be able to answer that key question, man, which is what is your what? What is that one thing that you're truly compelled to do. And interesting, when you look at the examples of those who are quote-unquote successful, and of course, success can be defined in a million different ways by a million different people. I happen to like the definition of success as basically being the person who has the courage, the determination, and the will to become the person they were meant to be. That, to me, is a great definition of success. But, you know, reality is that when you look at this whole conversation around what is your what and what is success, if you look at the people who have found that one thing, whether it's basket weaving or underwater welding or, you know, physics or basketball or whatever it is, you know, I mean, you look at a guy like Steve Kerr, right, as an example, coach of the Golden State Warriors. And, you know, basketball is his life. It's that one thing. It's his what. I mean, he can't do anything about it. It's in the genes, and he doesn't need to do anything else. You know, it's just that simple. You find what that is, and that can easily become not just your life, but your livelihood.
You know, you mentioned, and I get that, and certainly, you know, having that courage, will, and determination. I love how you put that, you know, just to become that person you're meant to be. You know, saying what you said, you state that, you know, there's really three simple steps that someone can take to really discover what is their what, or what they are. Tell us about that, because I think people learn that way when, you know, there's some frameworks, you know, thrown at them to help them ponder and think and to ask those questions of themselves. And that's why I always say, you know, again, audience, get your journals out. And, you know, ask some of these questions that Steve's going to be, you know, walking us through, because this is great insight. Not only should you listen today and really dive into what he's saying, but grab his book, because I'm sure, Steve, you wrote quite a few words in order to take deep dives on this subject. And we can only cover so much during this show, but tell us about those three simple steps, if you may.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, there's really no need to go get the book. I mean, we'll cover all the important stuff here. I mean, there's probably, I don't know, 600-700 decent words in the book, and I think we'll get to most of those here during this interview, so save the dime. But no, I mean, as far as what those steps are, you know, I did, in Authorland, they say you write the book you most need, right?
Right.
So for me, I've always kind of had that question of, you know, of what is my what is it that I'm truly wired to excel at? Why am I here? Right. I mean, that whole question that we all seem to have at some point in our lives, usually it's after a bowl of something or another. Sometimes it's a bowl of Frosted Flakes. Sometimes it's a bowl of something else, but you know, we ask that question. And for me, I've really wondered for my entire life what that is. And so I did the what colors your parachutes and the Myers-Briggs and all that stuff. And they really just all left me with more questions than answers. So I decided I'm going to create a framework that I think can really help people. And that is the what is your what framework, not because I intended for it to help people so much as I intended for it to help me. You know, I mean, that was really the idea here, is to write something, create the roadmap, the framework that I could follow to figure it out. And so really it's interesting how simple it is, but at the same token, I haven't seen anybody else put it in the way that I put it. And it's kind of like a tripod, where if you think about a tripod, you know, the three legs can be strong, but you take out one and the whole thing, doesn't matter how strong the other two are, you know, topples over. And that's the what is your what framework. And those three things are the gift, which is really the one core gift that is within your DNA. I believe that your what has chosen you. I don't believe it's that which you can choose. And that's pretty much the big difference between the what and the why for those that are wondering. Mm-hmm. But the gift is that one thing that is communicating or teaching or healing or whatever it might be that just absolutely defines how you're naturally wired to excel. And then the question is, after you have that down pat, how do you share that gift? And so that becomes the vehicle. That's the vehicle that you use to then share that gift. And the third part of the puzzle there, the third piece of the framework, is what's the, you know, who are the people, right? Who are the people that you are most compelled to serve? So most people will go through a lifetime without being able to answer one part of the equation, let alone all three. So don't feel like you're alone if you don't know those answers, because most people don't know those answers. But if you can get to the point of understanding the core gift, the vehicle, and the people, you're in pretty good shape.
I like that. I love that, actually.
Three very simple steps that people can take to really be able to plot a path. And Chris, I want to jump in here. I want to go a little bit deeper here, and go past that. Once you found out, Steve, kind of what you're wired for and how you get to that, and what you have to go through, and the kind of aha moments are going to occur, and the kind of influence other people are going to have on your life that's going to help guide you to where, you know, the self-realization comes in. You talk in your book about a journey through the four stages of learning, and Chris and I talk about this all the time. This is has been a big piece of our learning, kind of that light bulb moment that goes on, and you define it as this: the journey through the four stages of learning and shift from unconscious incompetence to unconscious competence. Can you help describe for the audience what you mean by that?
Yeah, and for those that are familiar with what this is, what you're referring to is Dr. Thomas Gordon's four stages of learning, and he calls it the conscious competence learning stages model. And basically, the way that it breaks down is when you are in stage one, which is unconscious incompetence, you know, there's a lot of different people. I mean, Landmark would like lay claim to this, but it's not a new idea. I mean, the idea is you just don't know what you don't know. And right. It's the blind spots, you know, it's the bullshit, it's whatever you want to call it, right? But it's the whole conversation around these things that happen to you in your life and you don't really understand why they happen. And so that can be something that you're just not good at, like a skill you try to attain but you just can't. Or it can be relationships, or it can be business, it can be whatever it is, but the bottom line is that there's something going on that you just can't put your finger on because you don't have the skills or the ability to put your finger on it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's stage one, right, which is unconscious incompetence. And it goes through the different stages where you go then to unconscious competence, where basically you're aware of what's going on, but you don't have the skills to really solve that issue. Then shifting to conscious competence, where you now have the skills that you need to get your desired result, but you have to think about your process. And then finally into unconscious competence, which is a stage that very few people will attain in any area of their life other than walking, breathing, and eating. And that's basically where you become sort of this magical type person where what you do looks so easy that people wonder how you do it, and you aren't giving it any conscious thought. It's like Jordan game 6 against Portland. You know, it's give me the ball, I grab it, I shoot it, I just keep shooting, it keeps going in. Back trot to half court, shrugging my shoulders, I don't know. Just give me the ball, I'll shoot it, it goes in. That's what's known as unconscious competence.
Yeah, it's that automatic, I guess, that takes over at that point where you just know what to do. And, you know, it's funny, Ben Hogan was asked, you know, to teach people how to play golf. Or what he did better yet to play a great game of golf, you know, from his swing, and he had a tremendous swing. In fact, off the tee, he was just able to crush it. So when he was asked, you know, how he was able to do it, and this is what reminded me of what you're saying, he didn't even know. In fact, he taught people for a long time what he was doing, but he was teaching it wrong until the day when someone actually was able to record him on video. And of course, way back in those days, that was new technology, believe it or not, folks, for all those listening. And until they actually recorded him, slowed down the recording, they can actually, for the first time he ever saw what he was actually doing. And that was just, again, an epiphany for him, and then was obviously able to take that information and share with people. So a lot of times, to your point, a lot of people never really reach this, you know, automatic response to life. And I agree with you on those four stages, or, you know, obviously Dr. Thomas, from that perspective. You know, listen, I can't wait to read your book, because obviously you dive into some really cool things. You're known as America's reinvention expert. And when I heard that, obviously I'm like, okay, what exactly does that mean to reinvent yourself? Steve, can you share with our audience your insight to, you know, how you teach people, or what, you know, what you teach from that reinvention standpoint?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because reinvention, the term itself, I think has taken on kind of a wonky meaning here over time, just because of people like Burger King talking about reinventing the hamburger and so on. I mean, I think people have taken creative liberties with the word, but
sure,
you know, reality is that it's not at all about changing anything in your life or who you are. To me, reinvention is really more about just kind of shedding the shackles of the outfits and the personas and the expectations and sort of those whims and the agendas of others, and shedding all of that to get back to the core, really to the essence of who you truly are. And that to me is, that is reinvention personified. And you can look at that in corporate environments where, you know, companies start out like bats out of hell with, we're going to do this and change the world and everything else. And then all of a sudden somebody's like, hey, we'll pay you $1 million to do this. You're like, oh, fuck that. I'm doing this. So, you know, it's just like, you know, it's just kind of how it works. And next thing you know, you've got a $10 million company, which is all well and good, but you're doing things that you never intended on doing. And frankly, you might be doing some things you don't even like doing.
Right.
So that's what reinvention is to me. It's just really getting back to that core, to that essence of who you truly are.
You know, that's an extremely good point, Steve. You know, Chris and I talk a lot about with our clients and on this show about charging all of your decisions back to your purpose, your mission, your why, whatever it is that you want to call that, but charging all the opportunities and all the risks and so forth back to the focus of who you are and what you're doing. That way it helps to not squirrel. And I think a lot of people, to your point, do squirrel. They find out something that comes along and they go, oh, hey, this could be really good economically for me. It may fit that box. I may be able to check off that box, but I can't check off these three other. But because that one's so sexy, I'm going to deviate and do that. And then when I try to come back, I've diluted my brand, if you will, of who I am. And sometimes it's hard to get started again. Do you find that, some of the people you work with follow that road?
Well, I mean, yeah, for sure. And I think that's why you see people with midlife crises and so on, because you end up waking up one day and you just don't have a clue in terms of how you got to where you are. And I think really that's what's most difficult for a lot of people, is just that whole process of taking a step back to say, wow, I'm not where I want to be. And a lot of people just aren't willing to say that. You know, they're just not willing to say it. And that's what becomes tricky for a lot of folks, is how do I scratch all of this that I've been building in order to do whatever that is that I know is going to be significantly more fulfilling. And what ends up happening is a lot of folks just kind of go cold turkey on it, and that doesn't work. I mean, it just doesn't work. You got to figure out how to make that transition and let somebody else pay for that transition. And so if you wake up in the morning and you go, geez, you know, this is not what I want to be doing. I don't even know how I got here. And then you say, you know what, forget it. I'm just going to quit this and start something new. You know, it's kind of an ignorant way of going about it. My thinking and my suggestion is, you know, let someone else pay for that transition, right? I mean, whoever that is, just be cognizant of where you're going and what you're going to do, but let someone else pay for that transition so that you can get to whatever place that is in the appropriate amount of time to get there without the same pressures of having to make it work. And I think that's where a lot of people get lost, is they're just like, oh man, I can't do this anymore, and they up and quit. And I don't recommend that course of action.
Well, let's dive into that just a little bit deeper. You've got people that do make that decision to just, I'm going to jump and I'm going to go. What about the people that really want to make that decision, but economically they find themselves between a rock and a hard place? I can't give up what I'm doing now because economically I'm tied to what I have to be able to live the life that I've got and not put undue burden. What is the trigger for people to be able to get past that? Maybe that can't economically, you know, make that shift immediately. What must they do to be able to your point that you just made about finding somebody else to help pay for that. What do you mean by that? And how does that apply to the person that really wants to, or that's strapped economically, but still wants to make that decision to change their life and to be able to pursue something that really gives them purpose?
Yeah. And I think that the point really here is look at it kind of like a recipe mixture, right? Where right now 100% of your income is derived from what it is that maybe you don't want to be doing. So if you think about it as a recipe mixture where if you can just dig in, right, dig in and try to get a decent sense of what your what is and what it is that really would provide that fulfillment for you, and you start doing that in the hours that are off the clock, and there's a lot of hours in the day, man. I mean, and that's the thing that a lot of people forget about is that there's only two ways to use your time. I mean, you can spend your time or you can invest your time. Spending your time is like spending your money. I mean, you've got that dollar, you were thirsty, you bought that bottle of water, and why they charge a dollar for a bottle of water, I have no idea still, but that's a whole other conversation. But, you know, that dollar is gone, right? I mean, you won't have it to put into something else that hopefully you can increase the value of so the dollar becomes worth $1, $10, $20, whatever it might be. And that's the difference between spending and investing your money. Well, it's the same thing with spending and investing with your time. You know, if you just simply take all that downtime and say, hey, you know, I'm just going to veg. I'm just going to, you know, I just need a little bit of, you know, just time to decompress, you know, whatever it might be. That adds up to an enormous amount of time that you will never get back. So Whether it's traveling, you know, buy a Tesla, man, invest in a Tesla, let that damn thing drive you to work. You know, I mean, whatever it is, or do Uber or whatever it might be, you know, but that time back and forth, that's time that is just wasted for most people. And then, of course, you've got what happens at night. You've got what happens on the weekends, et cetera. So there's a lot of time for people to make sure that they are investing that time in something that will provide a meaningful return. And so you use that as the transitionary period. And during that period, you begin to generate revenue from whatever it is that you are truly compelled to do. And if you think about it in terms of 100% of your income being derived from what you don't want to do, and now all of a sudden you make that first dollar, well, then that recipe mixture starts to shift. So now it's 99.999% what you don't want to be doing and 0.001 what you do, and as more and more income is derived from that work, well, then you can get to 80-20, 70-30, 60-40, et cetera. And you'll know when you're able to cut that rope, but I wouldn't cut it before then. And you have to think about it from the standpoint of what is it that you want versus what it is that you actually need. And if you think about it from that standpoint, and Chris, you know, your point was well taken about just having the money and these responsibilities and whatnot, and we all have those. But if you live in a home that's 12,000 square feet, and you drive that Tesla, and you drive that Maserati, and you drive this, that, and the other, and so your monthly nut is, you know, 20 grand a month, that's what you want. But maybe what you need is a one-bedroom apartment in the city, and you can take public trans, and you can cut your monthly expenses down to 2 grand a month. Well, now instead of taking, you know, 20 months, just using easy numbers here, to make that transition to get to where you need to be income-wise, well, now you can get to where you need to be in 2 months. So you've cut it down by 90%.
Yeah. I love that.
I love that too.
And you made some really good points. And, you know, one thing you'll know when with Alan and I, we take some good notes during these discussions because we always get some golden nuggets ourselves. But, you know, you said dig in, and I think spending time versus investing time is really for the audience. You know, you can look at what's relevant and important that you can spend your time or invest your time into, and we can all find time. I think a lot of there's a lot of wasted time, and I love the other point that you made on the budgeting is that I think a lot of people can look at that and open up an opportunity for themselves to shrink down that budget and then see where things can move them a little faster. These are some really great tips, and I love that. Now, you said something a little earlier, and I want to go back to it. You know, authors write what they most need. And when you said that, I'm like, I just wrote my book, and I think he's absolutely right. I think you nailed it, and I never really heard that before. So thanks for sharing some insight that I certainly got, you know, an epiphany on. But that said, what prompted you to write, you know, now that I say that, I might have given it away, but what prompted you to write What Is Your What?
I wonder if we lost him.
Maybe.
Still here.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't know why that happened, but it did.
No, that's
miracle
okay.
Technology.
The yep. miracle, but, yes, and editing.
But, right, exactly. But no, the question was so unnecessary for me to answer. I just I hit mute accidentally. Just decided I didn't even have to answer that question. So there you go. That's my subconscious. My state of unconscious competence kicking in. I don't even have to answer that question.
I love it.
but yeah, man. No, I mean, look. The answer, of course, is exactly as you said, which is I'm in this position of my life where I've got to try to figure out exactly what I want to be remembered as. How do I want to leave my legacy? You know, how do I want to leave this planet a better place? And if I don't figure that out in terms of having a framework that works for me, then it's just not going to happen. So, yeah, I mean, really, it just boils down to, for me, having a clear roadmap in terms of how I want to go about this in the days that I've got left. And I think it's probably important for me to say here, my wife is a funeral director. I mean, it's funny. It's like I help people, you know, create a better life, and then when they don't, she buries them. So I think it works really well. But you know, reality is she sees people on that table all the time, man. That would scare the hell out of you, you know? I mean, 45, 50, you know, 30-somethings, and it's just like, geez, you just never know when that number's up.
Sure.
Well, there's a reality piece there, a definite reality check for her probably every day and for you as well. And you see people that have a great amount of potential and yet squander that. And you know, I know this is a little bit off topic, but, you know, I've had a number of folks that have, you know, asked for help and so forth. And I see this great bit of potential, and they say they want to do things, but they never really truly engage. And, you know, the reasons for that could be obviously numerous, anything from age, gender, to economics, to commitment, to all those things. You know, what do you say to somebody that has, you know, tried this two or three times and for whatever hasn't been able to, you know, been able to really make it a go, you know, and they're coming to you and you're the fourth stop? You know, what do you tell them?
I'd say go visit my wife.
Great point.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, no, I mean, really, but it's like I'm being only slightly facetious. You know, I mean, at some point, I'm not telling you to throw in a towel, but I'm telling you, you might want to start knocking on different doors.
Right.
You know, it's like not everybody is wired to be an entrepreneur. I mean, some people think that they are, when in fact they're just not. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that you should just keep trying. I'm not one of those people. I mean, if you've given this, you know, a good fair go and you've tried three or four different businesses and you can't make a buck doing it, or you keep, you know, taking in money and you keep losing it, you know, I'm not Colonel Sanders here. I'm not going to tell you to keep cooking that chicken. I'm going to tell you to go get a job.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the reality for me, man. It's like some people keep banging themselves just up against that wall and they're not willing to do something different. And what I know is that there are a lot of, man, let's call it what it is. You know, I mean, there are a lot of wannabe-preneurs out there who have never had a real job. Go get a fucking job. Go see what it's actually like to work in a company. Because I guarantee you, you have no clue what it takes to run a business. Because you haven't seen anybody do it.
Right.
You haven't had the opportunity to learn on somebody else's dime. So stop trying to do it on your own. Go get a job. Let them basically, you know, train you and pay you to be trained. And then if you figure out, you know, a year into it or 2 years into it or 3 years into it that you want to go ahead and do your own thing, well, then maybe you can. But there's a lot of folks out there who just need a quick wake-up call. And sometimes the wake-up call is, you know, just go get a job and learn.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Right. It, nothing better than a good set of education, however you might get that. School of hard knocks or through academics, whatever the case may be. But have something under your belt that you're able to pull from and get some scars and some bruises. So you have some resources to be able to say, hey, this is what I, you know, do and this is what I don't want to do. But don't go into it ignorant. And then, like I say, keep hitting your head against the wall. You know, and that, you know, we had a guest on, I think, 2 weeks ago, and I forget who the guest was. And I apologize if they hear this comment and they said, well, that was me. But we were talking about the fact that you can be an entrepreneur and still be employed. You can have the entrepreneur mindset and do that for the company that you work for and get every bit as much satisfaction out of that, but still have the security of, if you will, for the, some will agree that this is a security, some will agree that it won't, but the security of working for a bigger company, but still using an entrepreneurial mindset in that position. And I think that's a great way to be able to, you know, live out one's, you know, dream and purpose is to help elevate somebody else's dream. And that's okay too.
Well, I mean, I do think it really just boils down to being able to answer the core question of why are you doing it? Because if you think you're doing it because you want freedom, or you think you're doing it because you want to make a lot of money, or whatever those reasons are, that's what you got to focus on. And a lot of folks just kind of go into it without an understanding of really why they're doing it. I mean, for me, I did it because I wanted to make sure, well, going back, way back, it's because I enjoyed doing it. Now I really do it because I wanted to make sure that I could walk my kids to school, so that I could go on their field trips, so that I could do, you know, those types of things that if I had a 9-to-5, I just wouldn't be able to do it. Right. But, you know, interestingly enough, at this point in my career, I'm actually exploring what opportunities for me to help someone else as a key person in their organization, because reality is that there are people who are much smarter than I am and people who have really good ideas and people who can change the world in ways that I can't, and they just might need some talent to help bring that to fruition. And so it really just depends on where you're at in your career. So for me now, with my kids being older, I'm actually exploring going to work for someone or with someone to help them bring their dream to fruition, because frankly, there's a lot less pressure. You know, there's always right. going to be pressure, but why, you know, why carry the burden of the whole thing if you don't have to? And at this joint, you know, this, you know, junction, you know, I'm really giving consideration to, is there an opportunity there, a company that's got Series A financing or B financing, and they need, you know, a hired gun to really take it to that next level? Yeah, that might even be a better opportunity than the things that I've been able to create on my own. And that's something you've got to be honest with yourself about. And at this stage in my career, I'm not sure that I want to start something else.
Right. And that, you know, makes a ton of sense, is that I think it's forever changing along that journey at specific times when opportunities, you know, present themselves, Steve. And obviously, you're no exception from opportunities presenting themselves as you've moved along doing what you've done so far. And, you know, a lot of times people have, you know, these challenges in life, and we can all relate. I mean, I'm sitting here making some notes and I'm shaking my head as you're speaking. And
wait, is that shaking or nodding?
I'm sorry, Nate, nodding. I should have, yes, nodding my head in agreement, that is.
I was going to say, because if I want that sort of abuse, I'll go ask my wife to come home and listen to me for a while.
Good point. Thanks for that. This Steve has been a too. Fun show. This has been such a fun show. Now, Steve, and I want to get back to your book for a second, because obviously I want, you know, people to know how they can get it, and you know, there's a couple of other things I want to pull out of you.
Do you really think anybody wants it at this point?
Oh yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
Let's be honest. Yeah. Okay. All right. All right.
Absolutely. Well, absolutely.
Let's get. We're just obligated, Steve.
No, I truly believe, you know, a book gets to that status for a good reason. And I think that, you know, it's well,
indeed,
for sure. And again, it's received, you know, numerous accolades, and I just want to hear from you, the horse's mouth.
Only the best that money can buy there, my friend.
Okay, we even heard it before I even asked the question, but I'm going to ask it again anyway. Why do you think the book has done so well, has been so well received?
I do think that there is something to be said for the framework, right? I mean, it is a right. very easy framework to understand, which is why I'm only being half facetious in terms of, like, do you really need the book? Yeah, I mean, you'd need it. Of course, there's a lot more detail in it. But if just understanding that the gift, the vehicle, and the people, you know, is the basic framework that I'm teaching,
right.
you can go out and try to figure some of that stuff out on your own. But, you know, reality is I think the book has done as well as it's done because it is something where you kind of scratch your head and you go, damn, that's really stupidly simple.
Right.
You know, like,
right.
But it's incredibly effective. And
gotcha.
So for those who have tried, like, the Myers-Briggs or the What Color Is Your Parachute or the StrengthsFinders or et cetera, and it's like, okay, great, so I'm an ENTF. It's like WTF. You know, it's like, who cares, you know? Or it's like, you know, I go to a networking party and there's, like, you know, a business conversation in one corner. It's a sports conversation. It's a finance conversation. It's like a tech conversation. And all I'm thinking about is, like, where's the goddamn door, you know? Like, I don't even care, like, what conversations are going on. So it's like, just get me out of this room.
Right.
So,
right.
you know, and there are people evidently like me. I don't believe it, but evidently there are other people like me who just kind of scratch their heads and go, there's got to be a different, better, easier, simpler, faster way. And that's what this book is. Does it take introspection? Does it take work? Does it take energy? Of course. But I think if you devoted a decent amount of time to just answering the questions and going through the exercises, I mean, it's not a light, funny read. I should actually write one of those. And I think that's going to be my next book, which is going to be Think Like a Jew, A Gentile's Guide to Business and Life. So that's actually going to be my next book. But that'll be more of a lighter take on things. But it is kind of a heavier book. I mean, there's, you know, a lot of exercises and introspection you got to go through. But if you're willing to do that, I do think you'll come out the other end with definitely some insight that you may not have had before.
Yeah, well, thanks for the insight, and you should write that book. It sounds intriguing.
I already own the domain. Done.
I love it. Now, it's true, and what I've heard, and I looked, you give this book away for free, and, you know, I know you've got some workshops and stuff, but tell us about, you know, how people, our audience particularly, can do that and, you know, get this book, because I certainly, you know, purchased the book, but if you're giving it away, sure. I think our audience needs to know that.
Yeah. And is there anyone else who would be listening to this that is not your audience? Just, I mean, I'd love to figure that one out. Because if you can clue me in to how you can get people to listen to a show and they're not actually listening to the show, I'm all over that, man. Just clue me in on that one. But yeah, I mean, just whatisyourwhat.com/free. That's the easiest place to go. So whatisyourwhat.com/free. But, you know, I definitely suggest that you take a listen to Reinvention Radio, which is my show. And if you survive that, then maybe go and grab the book and see if, you know, if I'm your cup of tea or not.
Awesome. Well, that is perfect. And I'll let you know about that little secret about, you know, if it's not our audience, how do they listen?
We're going to have to have a drink over that one, I think.
Steve, you know, these shows go so quick. And yeah. Certainly, I know Alan's got another question, and we're coming close to what our audience loves is that bold insight, rapid bold insight. So we'll get to that in a minute here. But Alan, we've got some time for probably a couple more questions.
Yeah.
And first of all, Steve, well, first, I love your humor and your attitude about things, because I certainly believe that, you know, we all need to lighten up a bit, and it sounds like you live that and walk that. So thank you for bringing some humor, and, you know, really appreciate that. Will you come back on the show again sometime this year? Because we'd love to catch up with you, and especially, you know, with what you've got going on and some of the things you're contemplating. We'd love to, you know, obviously catch up with you. Would you come back later on sometime, you know, this year or early next year?
I mean, honestly, I've given you all my best shit. I got nothing more. I can't imagine anything new. I can't imagine anything new coming up that would be earth shattering between now and then. But if you want to be tortured again, sure, why not? Let's do it.
Well, you don't know what you don't know, Steve. I'm just going to use your words there.
There you go. See, unconscious incompetence. Perfect. Well played. Well played.
Alan, let's give Steve another question.
I got nothing after that. I just
yeah, wrap it up. Wrap it up,
okay.
Eh?
No, I do want to talk about your workshop because I think a lot of people are going to are the people that haven't really heard about your mission. We're going to want to know about the workshop. Can you tell a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, the workshop that you're referring to is the Reinvention Workshop. And basically what that is it's kind of like what is your what live, I guess is the best way to put it. It's something that I've been doing since 2009 on and off. And it's, you know, definitely one of the highlights, if you will, of the work that I do, because I do love working with people personally, and there's nothing better than working with them and seeing sort of that light kind of come on and that glow that people get when they get that clarity around what their what truly is. And so that's what the Reinvention Workshop is all about. I mean, I do another event called Internet Profits Live, and we've done that for a number of years as well. But for right now, certainly in this conversation, in this realm, the Reinvention Workshop is probably a great place to start.
Oh, that's super fantastic. And we'll make sure for the folks out there, you can get all the information once the show's up. And go to steveolsher.com. I'll spell it out, steveolsher.com. Check him out. He's got everything there as well. And check out his show, Reinvention Radio. And we'll certainly take advantage of getting that book for free and seeing what Steve has to offer inside his journey as being an entrepreneur. And, you know, Steve, it's come to that time when we're going to ask you a couple of quick questions in our bold insight. Are you ready for that?
Well, maybe.
Well, I'm going to ask the toughest questions ever. But you know, I'm sure you'll make it through unscathed. And why don't we just get right into it? What book
sounds good
do you recommend?
Well, there are a lot of books that I like. The Legend of John Holmes actually is pretty interesting. I don't know if you had a chance to read that, but you know, it's interesting how he came from basically just came out of obscurity into, you've read that, no? You guys, you
not
know the
yet.
Book
I'm talking about? I'm intrigued.
Nope. I know the book, but I haven't read it.
Yeah, so check out The Legend of John Holmes. I mean, that one's really good. And what else? Let's see, the other book that I find to be pretty interesting and has helped me quite a bit is, have you read the man's, what I believe, if I remember correctly, I believe it's called The Men's Guide to Women. I think that's exactly what the title is. And if I remember correctly, no, I don't know this. The Men's Guide to Women, I think is the name of it. It's really good.
Nice.
No, I just asked my wife.
Yeah, well, that's the wrong book to be reading, for sure.
I love it. Thanks for that. What do you do for fun, Steve?
Other than give people a hard time on radio shows and podcasts, you know, it's Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu's been in the blood for about 16 years. So I had a chance to train under Carlson Gracie Sr. before his passing, so I've been doing that for quite some time. But I'm 46, going on 47 now, and really all I got to do is look at the maps and I get hurt. So it's not quite the same as it once was, but that and still enjoy the music and some production, some stuff along that side of the equation. As a matter of fact, we just got done putting together a single, which is called "What Is Your What,"
nice.
That we're going to put that. I guarantee you we're going to put that on the Billboard charts. So keep an eye out for that one.
I love it.
Well, whatever awesome. We can do to help promote that, let us know.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll do.
That sounds good. What one piece of technology has helped your business the most?
You know, it's interesting. I mean, I've been online for a long time. I'm not much of a tech guy. I can tell you what's hurt it the most, and that's certainly email. I hate email, and as a matter of fact, I'm like a stone's throw from being one of those folks who literally just says, look, if you want to reach me, then do something like really strange, like pick up a phone and call me.
I love it.
You know, from a technology standpoint, there's not a lot of tools that I recommend. I mean, I do like things if you're working with folks that are remote, like Teamwork, I find it'd be pretty helpful. And then there are some new tools that help you do like syndication of some of the live broadcasts, like Live Leap is one of them. And then there's another one that that will give you the opportunity basically to run sort of like contests that are viral in nature. And that one's pretty good, which is to get leads. And so there's a few, you know, software programs out there that I like as well.
Beautiful. What quote has had the most impact on you, Steve?
Other than you're 18, it's time for you to get the fuck out of the house. let's see. Other than that one, probably, you know, I do really like Oscar Wilde's quote, where he said basically that the critic has to educate the public and the artist has to educate the critic. And I like that one because, you know, there's really just, man, there's two types of people. You know, there's critics and there's creators. And most people will go through their entire life without being a creator, and they'll just simply critique and be a critic of others' creations without putting anything forth for the world to judge. And, you know, that's my challenge is will you put something forth for the world to judge, and will you shift from that critic mindset to being a creator?
Nice challenge. I like that.
Yeah, well said. That is a great challenge. Hey, Steve, you might have already told us, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What is your next bold move?
You know, believe it or not, I have been kicking around a tech play or two. As I said, I've been in the tech space for a long time. So I actually do have a couple of tech plays that I've been kicking around. And we'll see if I end up running with that. But believe it or not, I'm actually I'm ghostwriting a book right now for a woman who's got a very interesting story. Very, very wealthy woman. And when she said money's no object, I was like, sign me up. So wouldn't normally do that. But, you know, basically she was like, yeah, you know, I just bought this Alfa Romeo, but I don't really like it, and I'm going to return it. And I was like, okay, this is my kind of girl right there. So I was like, yeah, don't usually do that kind of thing. But you know, for the hell of it, I'm going to ghost write a book, man. So
I love
that.
It.
And
that's awesome.
Like I said, we're going to put that song, What Is Your What, on the Billboard charts. And and we'll see what happens, you know, coming from there. But the radio show is pretty exciting. For me, the Holy Grail has always been radio. And
right.
if I could get Reinvention Radio or a show similar to that features me and my crew syndicated, that's Holy Grail for me, man.
Awesome. Well, let's help you do that. And wow, we really appreciate you taking the time and the insight. And like I said, thanks for sharing your humor. It's always fun when we can, you know, have someone on the show as laid back as you are. And for our audience, thank you so much for tuning in. Check out Steve Olscher at steveolscher.com, steveolscher.com. And you'll check out all his stuff that he has available there. And Reinvention Radio sounds great. And we'll be rooting for you, Steve. Really appreciate your insight and your boldness. Mr. Bold was in the house. Well, a little throwback for you.
Nice. Well, thanks for having me on, and hopefully you'll recover soon enough.
Well, don't go away yet. We've got something else. All right.
No, Steve, Alan, you've been very gracious with your time. Thanks, yes, Chris.
For sure. Take us away.
With your time and your insight and your transparency. And not everybody is willing to be honest and true, and you have been, and we appreciate that. And the banter's been great, but we also know your character, and I think the audience says too. So thank you so much for that. But we want to leave we always leave our audience with one question from our guest. And this could be something that you've already talked about today. It could be something that you've reserved in your back pocket. It could be something off the, you know, top of your head. But we'd like to have you leave the audience with one bold move, something they could institute today to change either their life and or their business.
Cool, man. So, all right. Well, I mean, the bold move that I would ask you to think about is when you wake up, let's just call it tomorrow morning, just the bold move, the challenge, if you will, is just be conscious of where your time goes tomorrow, right? I mean, like, really be conscious. Like, how much time do you spend on Facebook? How much time do you spend actually working? How much do you time actually, you know, how much time do you spend actually selling? You know, really try to document where that time goes, because I think that you'll find that an inordinate amount of that day is not used in a productive manner. Not to say that, again, you know, we talked about this earlier, but not to say that you shouldn't have any downtime or decompression, but it does add up to just an inordinate amount of time that you simply can't get back. So take a look at it and then be honest. What percentage of your day did you spend and what percentage of your day did you invest?
Super. Well said. Thanks. Thanks, Steve, so much. It's been great having you on the show. Chris, as usual, you're a fantastic co-host. And audience, we love your loyalty, and we continue to do our best to bring you the best. And Steve today is obviously no exception to that. It's been great to have him on the show. And Chris, go ahead and take us home.
You got it. Again, right back at you, Alan. Thank you so much, Steve. And, you know, thank you to the audience. Check out, you know, all the other shows we've got to offer. But, you know, this one in particular with Steve Olscher, it certainly was a pleasure. And, you know, we wish Steve all the best. If you have anybody you're looking for, come to info@thinkboldbebold.com. Send us a note, and we'd be happy to, you know, source those guests out and bring, you know, people that you're really hoping to listen to. And we've got tons of great guests coming. So again, Steve, keep being real, my friend. You're awesome, and good luck with all your goals in the future. And we look forward to having you back on soon.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, everyone. Wouldn't be a show without me saying, do something nice for someone today.